I want you to get this picture in mind. I want you to see what's going on here. Jesus at this point is at the height of his popularity. He is at a point where there are huge crowds that are following him. And so he's come to Jericho. And man, when Jesus comes to town these days, there's a crowd that comes to town. And so as he's going along, there's this man named Zacchaeus. Now the Bible gives us a description. It says he is a tax collector. Not only a tax collector, but he's a chief tax collector. In other words, he's got others under him. Now, I want you to understand, I've told you this before, but I'll remind you how you became a tax collector in the Roman world and what people generally thought about the tax collectors. The way that you became a tax collector in the Roman world was by a bid process. You would go and you would bid for the government on how much taxes you thought you could extract, and here was the deal. Anything that you could extract above that, guess what happened with it? You got to keep it. Now, so if you were a Jew and you were a tax collector, first of all, you were looked at as a traitor because you were collecting taxes for the Roman government that was occupying Jerusalem. Then, not only that, tax collectors were known. It wasn't that they could just take whatever and get it above that. They did frequently take whatever. And they were known. And this man, it says he's wealthy. And so I want you to understand, this is a man, if you want to get an idea of how low they thought of tax collectors, they lined them up with the prostitutes. You know, if you were a tax collector, that was about your social status among the Jews. But we've got Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus is a tax collector along this line, but he's also a little man. How many of you remember when you were kids, if you went to church, you sang that song, Zacchaeus, a wee little man was he? We don't know. Don't know exactly how short he was, but he couldn't see Jesus over the crowd. So the Bible says that this rich man who was short ran ahead, found a sycamore tree, climbed up in that tree so he could get a look at Jesus. I want to tell you, this probably isn't what most rich folks in that day were doing. And probably most of the folks didn't know that Zacchaeus would even be concerned about who Jesus was. So the first thing I want you to see is there were people who were surprised by Jesus. They were surprised by Jesus. You see, first of all, I believe with all my heart, Zacchaeus was surprised by Jesus because he had climbed that tree hoping to get a look as Jesus passed by. I believe when the procession stopped, when Jesus got to that sycamore tree and he stopped, and then he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus. And he's kind of like, maybe that's happened to you. Maybe you've been in church, a preacher's preaching, and he says something and it's just like somebody called your name. Have you ever had that? I will tell you, when I was out of God's will and when I was trying to leave the ministry, I had sat in a group of 400 people, and it was like that preacher would preach and he'd put his finger on my nose all the way in the back. He would just reach out there, and you know what? I knew enough about the Bible because I had pastored and was trying to. I knew he didn't know when I was going to be there and when I wasn't going to be there. But I'd get up and leave mad anyway because he just kept pointing me out. I was surprised that somehow or another he just kept hitting where I was. And Zacchaeus was surprised that Jesus not only knew where he was, but he stopped and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I've got to go to your house today. But let me tell you, Zacchaeus wasn't the only one who was surprised. The religious folks were surprised too when Jesus stopped at the tree and he called Zacchaeus down. The Bible says they were upset. They were upset because Jesus took the time to go to Zacchaeus' house and agreed to have a meal with him just to be his company. He said, Zacchaeus, I must go home with you today. I must stay with you today. And they were saying, he's keeping company with sinners. He just don't know who this is. How can we say that he might be the Messiah? How can we say that he might be the Son of God? Because of the people that he's associating with. And so they were surprised. They were surprised that the Messiah, who was a Jew, and good Jews didn't have any dealings to do with sinners, tax collectors, Gentiles. But not only did he stop and speak to Zacchaeus, but he said, come on, man, I've got to go stay at your house. And so they got upset and they began to grumble. So here's the thing I want you to know. It surprises lost people when they recognize that God is actually interested in them. But he is. But it also surprises church folks when they realize some of the people that God is interested in. You see, because we get to church and we want it to be all clean and we want it to be all sanitized and we want everybody to look, act a certain way. But I tell you something, if we want to reach lost people, you need to understand you can't expect lost people to act any other way except lost. That's just how they're going to be. And so if they're ever going to get saved, that means somebody that is saved has got to be willing to reach out. Somebody's got to stop under the tree. Somebody's got to call out a name and say, I'm here to talk to you. Can I spend some time with you? And so they were surprised. But let me tell you the next thing I see there. Not only were they surprised, Zacchaeus was transformed by Jesus. Now, I want you to understand, with Zacchaeus being a chief collector, tax collector, I believe he was guilty of everything the folks were complaining about of him. He didn't get to the position he was in by being an honest man. He didn't get to that position by being straightforward and being honest. But when Jesus stopped and called his name, and went home with him, something changed in Zacchaeus. You see, Jesus didn't confront him and say, you know, you've got all this money and you've got to do something. You remember there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And he said, I've done all these things since I was a child. I've kept them. He said, this one thing you lack, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the Bible says the rich young ruler went away sad because he had great possessions. Jesus wasn't speaking against prosperity or having money. Jesus just knew that's where that man's treasure was. And so he spoke to him at the point where he knew he needed to surrender. But when Jesus comes to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus begins to bring up the conversation, Lord, I'll give half of everything that I've got to the poor. In other words, where it had been all about me, completely about me, Lord, I'm willing to make my life outward focused. I'm willing to do something differently than what I have done. But he went a step farther. He said, Lord, and if I have defrauded anybody, he said, I'll repay them fourfold. I don't know where that left Zacchaeus exactly financially, but it left him substantially less than what he had when he came to Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you, men don't give up money unless something changes them, when that's been the center and the focus of their life. Now, you may be here today, and I want you to understand, it may not be money that's the center of your life. We can have all kinds of things that take the first place in our lives. It can actually, whether you would like it or not, it can actually be our family. People today who worship families in the sense that I want to provide for my children the things that I never had. But what you wind up leaving out so many times is that the relationship with the Lord is the most important thing that you could ever give them. When we look around us and when we think about so many things, we can be involved in trying to get our career going in the right direction. If I just get this promotion, if I just make X amount of dollars, if I just get to this point where that I can retire. And we can think about all of those things, and they can become the idol that's at the center of our lives. Things that aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves, but when they take the first place in our life, then they become an idol to us. Zacchaeus let it go. He was changed. He was transformed. But listen, I know how church folks think. Do you? I'll guarantee you there was somebody sitting back in the church says, we'll see about this. You ever seen that? Somebody gets saved. First thing out of somebody's mouth is, well, I know them better than that. This won't last. I'm going to tell you, if you want to encourage them like that, you probably ought to encourage your way on out the door. So, Brother Eddie, what are you saying? I'm saying we don't need no Pharisees. When folks get saved, they don't get saved and know everything instantly. And yes, they're going to stumble, they're going to fall, they're going to make mistakes. But they need somebody that's going to help them get back up, not somebody that's going to help kick them on down. And so when we begin to look at that and we begin to see that, Jesus said it like this. He said, today salvation has come to this house. He also is a son of Abraham. I want you to understand, he didn't get saved because he was willing to give up his money. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He gave up his money because his heart was changed, because he had a life-changing experience with the living Lord Jesus. You see, we don't make the changes to get saved. We are changed by his power because we have been saved. And so when we begin to see that and we begin to understand that, then instead of being skeptical, we begin to celebrate. We begin to celebrate with those who have been surprised by Jesus. I won't tell you, I can remember as a young man, I've shared openly here that one of the things I've struggled with all of my life is depression. That at times has left me isolated. That at times has left me at a point where I'm a hard person to live with, a hard person to be around. But when I was really young, it left me at a place where I just didn't believe anybody loved me or anybody cared. I can remember as a teenager the first time God really began to convict me, and I began to find myself reading the Bible, and as I read through the book of John, when the Lord gripped my heart with the fact that John 3:16 was written to and for me, for God so loved Eddie Painter that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever should believe in him would trust, that I was a whosoever. And then as I read further, when he says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And I began to understand that he loved me enough that he died there on the cross for me, that there was nobody that loved me like Jesus loved me. I was surprised. But then it started to change me. The night I got saved and surrendered to the ministry, and I've had some people say, well, the Lord can't save you and call you at the same time. Well, that's what he did to me. And I think 30-something years later proves it's right. Because I'm still here. And I'm still preaching Jesus. And I want you to understand, I went home that night and I told my grandmother, my grandmother was an old shouting Baptist, and she said, glory! And she started crying. My daddy come out the house and said, what's going on, son? I told him. He said, you're going to have to prove it to me. I thank God that he lived long enough to say that I had proved it to him, that he saw the fruit. But I want you to understand that the first time that I preached, the back row of the church when I was 18 years old was filled up with my friends that I used to drink with and that I used to party with. And they weren't there to hear the gospel. They were just there to see if this was really going to happen. They weren't rooting for me. They were there just like they did when I was drinking. I was going to be the entertainment when I fell flat on my face. Well, I want you to understand that today God is still in the business of transforming people and saving people. And so I want to invite Sarah Smith to come this morning and share just a little bit about being saved and being transformed by Jesus and how he's still doing this.
Thank y'all. What a blessing that it is that Jesus left the 99 to come to me. Because I was lost, I was broken, and I was stuck in addiction. I want to share something that pretty much describes addiction and what it was in my life and many others. I destroy homes. I tear families apart. I take your children, and that's just the start. I'm more costly than diamonds, more precious than gold. The sorrow I bring is a sight to behold. If you need me, remember, I'm easily found. I live all around you in schools and in town. I live with the rich. I live with the poor. I live down the street and maybe next door. I'm made in a lab, but not like you think. I can be made under your kitchen sink, in your children's closet, or even in the woods. If this doesn't scare you, it should. I have many names, but there's one you know best. I'm sure you've heard of me. My name is Crystal Meth. The power is awesome. Try me, you'll see. But if you do, you may never break free. You try me once, and I might let you go. But you try me twice, and I'll own your soul. When I possess you, you'll steal and you'll lie. You'll do what you have to just to get high. You come and you'll commit, for your narcotic charms will be worth the pleasure you feel in your arms, your lungs, and your nose. You'll lie to your mother, you'll steal from your dad. When you see the tears, you should feel sad. But you'll forget your morals and how you were raised. I'll be your conscience, I'll teach you my ways. I take kids from parents and parents from kids. I turn people from God and separate friends. I'll take everything from you, your looks and your pride. I'll be with you always, right by your side. You'll give up everything, your family, your home, your friends, your money. Then you'll be alone. I'll take and I'll take till you have nothing more to give. When I'm finished with you, you'll be lucky to live. If you try me, be warned, this is no game. If given the chance, I'll drive you insane. I'll ravish your body, I'll control your mind. I'll own you completely, your soul will be mine. The nightmares I give you while lying in bed, the voices you'll hear from inside your head, the sweats, the shakes, the visions you'll see, I want you to know they're all gifts from me. But then it's too late, and you know in your heart that you are mine and we shall not part. You'll regret that you tried me, they always do, but you came to me, not I to you. You knew this would happen, many times you were told, but you challenged my power and chose to be bold. You could have said no, just walked away. If you could live that day over, now what would you say? I'll be your master, you'll be my slave. I'll even go with you to your grave. Now that you have me, met me, what will you do? Will you try me or not? It's up to you. I can bring you more misery than words can tell. Come take my hand. Let me lead you to hell. And that's where the direction I was going in my life. I had gotten away from drugs and alcohol for 11 years. Life happened. A lot of traumas happened in my life. And my worth was in God for those 11 years. But when one of my children was hurt, my worth, I turned away from God. Where was he? And so I lost my husband to addiction, and my kids lost me to depression. I then lost my children, and I went into a world that I never thought I'd go back into, but I was so lost, and I was so angry at God, but he still loved me, even though I chose that hard and lonely road. And through that journey, he showed me, you know, I thank God for my relapse, because in that relapse, I got to see a lot of broken, and he had called me to help those broken for many years, but I ran from that. But whenever I got to go out and see that, it changed my life. And it took the jaws of life to get me out of Jackson, Mississippi. It took every law enforcement agency there was, but God loved me enough to send them to save my life. Through him saving my life, he told me to help women and children. A lot of people laughed for many years that wouldn't happen, but there's so many addicts, and it's not just the addicts that suffer, it's their children that suffer, it's their families that suffer. But when he comes out to save us, it's so amazing to see what he's done, because he came to save me. Maddie, please stand. Maddie, please. She was baptized two weeks ago, and through him coming to save me, that's a fruit of that labor. Josh, Anna, Chris, Crystal, please stand. He left the 99 to go get Chris and Crystal, and through that, men, please stand. All of you. He left the 99, and that's a result. Women, please stand. He left the 99, and that is a result. And all of these men and women have so many children, so many family members, and it's such a blessing to see what God's doing in their life. Major, Betty, please stand. I know y'all are here somewhere. He left the 99, and through his calling came, there's more to come. He's opening up more ministries to help more men and women. Anyone that suffered from addiction, please stand. Any family members that suffer from their families being in addiction or alcoholism? That right there is the blessing of reaching out and helping others. The miracles that come from it. The blessings that come from it. You can all be seated. I was a lost soul, but me being lost has taught me what to see women that reunite with their children after 20 years, men that get their lives back. I got my life back. I just get to hear my kid, my son, pray for me this morning before I spoke. And that's what the blessing of reaching out and helping others is. And I want to thank you guys for having me.
And folks, that brings us to the final point of the message. Jesus is still seeking and saving the lost today. I want you to understand that the ministry that we're talking about, the people that are involved here, the people that are welcomed into Emmanuel Baptist Church, bring with them a lot of times a mess. If you want to be sanitized and sterile, this probably isn't the place for you. You say, Brother Eddie, I wouldn't discourage anybody. I'm not trying to discourage you from coming to church, but what I do want you to know, don't be surprised, because this is how Jesus works. And if what you're looking for is a place where Jesus isn't doing something like this, then what you're looking for is a place where Jesus probably isn't really welcome. You see, because He works by reaching into the places where so many of us would never go. He takes us beyond our comfort zones. I want you to understand, in ministry, in seeking out the lost, not everybody's addicted. Addiction affects a lot of people in the forms of drugs, but listen, there are people that struggle with pornography. There are people that struggle with their relationships within their family. There are people that struggle with so much of everything, and they need to know that they shouldn't be surprised, because Jesus stops to seek them. And you see, as we are gathered here this morning, as we come now to a time of invitation, then here is what I want you to know and what I want you to do this morning. I've asked you to be praying for 5 lost people. I want to ask you, are you burdened for their lost people? Are you irritated by the fact that your pastor just doesn't seem to want to let this go? Are you irritated because you get to get up and meet people that you didn't know? I bless the Lord, I know somebody else didn't get to sit in their seat today because visitors were here and they took that seat. I hope all of you have to sit in different seats, because we keep reaching people for Jesus and it keeps changing the way things are. Will you join me this morning praying for the lostness that's around us? Praying for those that are here, that are trying to rebuild a life, that are seeking the power of transformation that comes through Jesus Christ. Will you seriously bring your 5 to the altar and begin to pray? I want you to understand, God's at work. We'll have another baptism next week. As we get ready to celebrate that, it's somebody else who came through this. And I want to tell you, I'm so excited, because you know why they're not here today? because they were living together and they said, we need to get things right. And so they're going this weekend to get married. You want to know when you can see transformation? Transformation is happening when people step away from their sin and when they step forward to Jesus and they say, Lord, I know you found me where I was, but help me not to stay there. God loves you enough this morning, He'll meet you exactly where you are. But He loves you too much to leave you there. This morning, will you join me in praying for the lost of our community, praying for revival, praying, God, help us to seek the lost with you. Let's pray. Father, I come to you this morning. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word. And Lord, I pray, let us be burdened for the lost. Let us have a fire in our bones, Lord. Let us experience revival because we know that you still are reaching out to save the lost. You still are seeking sinners. You still are changing lives, Father. We ask you, use us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, please stand.